Take your Bibles now and go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1. You'll find the book Revelation and work your way back. You'll find a little bit quicker. 1 Peter chapter number 1. This evening we'll read verses 17 through 23 responsively. I'll read verse number 17. You'll join me on verse number 18 all the way through verse number 21. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Yeah, 23, right. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 17. The Bible says, "And if ye call on the Father, who, without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, before was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Let's read verse number 23 together. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you tonight. Lord, us being here, Lord, as humans would be a waste of time, Lord, if your Holy Spirit's presence is not with us. Lord, we live in, Lord, dark days. Lord, we need you desperately, Lord, to not just be with us and speak to our hearts here, but Lord, we need you to, through the message of this evening, give us wisdom as to how we can make a difference in the world that we're living in. Lord, as Christians, you've called us to do a great work, and we need, Lord, to hear from you tonight, Lord, to receive strength to be able to go out and do that work. Fill us with your Holy Spirit's power as we listen. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want you to keep your Bibles open. We'll use them in a little while here, but I really need your attention, especially at the beginning, for you to understand the truth tonight. I want to make it very clear that we do nothing to get saved but trust Jesus Christ and what he did for us to take us to heaven. We do not get saved by our own righteousness. We read in verses 18 and 19 that people believe that you get saved with the traditions of men and gold and silver, giving money, giving offerings, rituals. You don't get saved that way. Our righteousness has nothing to do with salvation. If you are counting on your righteousness to get to heaven, you are going to die and go to hell. And I don't say that because I'm arrogant. I say that because I'm concerned. You do nothing to get saved but trust Jesus Christ and what he did for you to take you to heaven. Period. End of discussion. Now, I also want you to know, though, that after we get saved, God expects us to do some of the cleaning up in our life. It's not God's job to clean you up. He saved you so that you could clean up. Now, let me try to get you to understand something. We cannot clean up our spirit. It was dead until it got saved. When it got saved, it has the Holy Spirit. So our spirit doesn't need any cleaning because it's been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So it's not our spirit that needs cleaning. That's done by God. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. Our body houses all of it. Our soul is our emotions, our personality, that which I am communicating to you with right now, but our spirit is that which allows us to communicate with God. That is what is dead in sins and trespasses till we get saved. The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what John 3 is all about. Song we sang, very first song, being born again. What was born again? Not the body, not the soul, but the spirit. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves in. He brings life to your spirit, and he lives through and in your spirit in you. Don't get mad at me. Jesus doesn't live in your heart. He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now. It's the Holy Spirit that lives inside you. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is God's. Why? Because it houses the Holy Spirit. Now, all that being said is this. Our soul is our emotions. It is our feelings. It is our personality. It is our attitude. We read in 1 Peter 1, verse 22. I want you to look at it. Seeing, now watch this. Ye have purified your souls. Ooh, look at me. It didn't say God purified your soul. It says we are to purify our souls. Now, I'm going to make some statements here that you need to listen. Our soul is our emotions or our attitudes. This does not mean that we are not to have any emotions. We're to have pure emotions, pure attitudes. God tells us to purify them, but he also tells us how to purify them. This world is out of control emotionally right now. People are rioting, protesting, destroying monuments all over something that doesn't even exist. Right. Folks, Christopher Columbus died in 1506. Get over it. If you're upset over something that happened over 500 years ago and you're blaming your attitude on something from 500 years ago, you have bigger problems than Christopher Columbus. People are walking around saying that we're offended and we have hurt feelings. We have to change professional sports teams like the Redskins because that's offensive. That's a derogatory term. I read in the news this morning that they're going to get rid of the name Eskimo Pie because that's a derogatory term. God help us. Well, I'm just offended. Let me tell you what's happening. The devil wants, they're not getting rid of the Eskimo Pies, they're just going to rename them. You know, before too long, we're not going to have White Castles. What a shame. That would be, let me say something. How come we don't go protest Great Britain because of what they did 250 years ago to us? Amen. We did protest in 1776. We fought a war and declared our independence from them. We didn't say, well, we're offended, so we're not going to be called British Americans. Everybody doing okay? We just fought them and said, look, we whooped you, get out of here. We'll start our own country. By the way, if in Seattle they're going to start their own country in 6 square blocks, let's turn the water off, let's turn the sewers off, let's turn the power off, and let's shut all trucking industry in and out of there, and let's let them function as their own country and see how long they last. When them sewers back up real good, they're going to quit real quick. By the way, to declare yourself a country, you have to be able to trade with other countries. They have nowhere with all to make a living within 6 square blocks. And they're too lazy to do it, so it wouldn't matter. Now, this world needs people and needs everybody to purify their soul. Now, public education, the media, social media, Hollywood, and the medical world are all working on controlling people's emotions. Look at the fear brought on by the destruction of the world economics due to a false narrative about a virus. Run the numbers. Do you know that the death rate hasn't changed since it came out of China? Not a hundredth of a percent. It is the same. The volumes of daily lies on the reporting of it and the loss of our freedom that was stolen from us because of it. Now, we have to change the narrative to where everybody is racially motivated and anything that ever happens is a race issue. And it's, may I say something? Not everything in this world is racially motivated. I will say this, and I taught on justice just last week, and I said, I don't have an opinion about whether the police officers in Minneapolis were right or wrong. Nobody has all the facts yet.
Right.
But I will tell you this, the man who died, his wife, his mother, his brother have all come out and said, y'all are acting stupid. We shouldn't be doing this. This isn't a way to honor him. This isn't about that. We ought to listen to his family for a second. Now, God tells us, and I got to hurry up here. God tells us that it's our job to purify or clean up our own emotions. It's not God's job to fix your attitude. I used to teach my kids, and I say this often, your attitude's your fault. My attitude's my fault. We are not animals controlled by emotions. We're supposed to be better than an animal and control our own emotions. An animal, listen to me, an animal is a body and a soul. I love my puppy dog. I'm glad I've got my puppy dog. And it's a worthless hunting dog. It's a beagle, but she's worthless. My wife's turned it into a sissy. My little white beagle is a chick with an attitude. That's all she is. Trust me, from day one we got her, the guy that handed it to her, the breeder, and gave her to us, he said, now look, she's loving, she's affectionate, but you'll never doubt what she's thinking. Boy, was he right. You do something, she'll just look at you. You do something she doesn't want, you go. She'll just let you know. Now, she is a chick with an attitude. But can I tell you something? She doesn't have a spirit. It is a body, it is a soul, and she is controlled by her emotions, especially if it's food involved. You want a treat? You know, you can go from dead sleep to on your feet running when you say the word treat or walk. All right? Pow! Out of a coma into full blast, go for it. Say, why? Because they have a soul, they have an attitude, but they have emotions. Boy, she was in emotional overload with 18 people in our house. She was like a blind dog in a meat house, going from person to 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 person for attention. And when they all left, she had an anxiety attack and about laid herself out. Gone. Now, wait a minute. An animal is run by their emotions. Doesn't matter if they're cattle, doesn't matter if they're deer, doesn't matter if it's a dog or a cat, doesn't matter what it is. They're run by their emotions and what's inside of them and their body. Their body tells them what to do, and their emotions tell them what to do. They have no control over it. Now watch this. God gave us the ability to control our emotions. God tells us we are to purify our soul or our emotions. Our emotions, our soul, has nothing to do with going to heaven.
That's right. Amen.
I'm going to make a statement here. Most religion focuses on the soul, not the spirit. Brother Juan and I were talking yesterday. Mainline religion doesn't separate soul and spirit. They call the spirit your soul. Say why? Because it's all based on emotions. Let me make you feel bad. Oh, you've got to repent of all your sins. You've got to cry. You've got to mourn. And you've got to be so sorry for your sins. How sorry is sorry? Show me in the Bible how sorry somebody has to be. That's emotion based. So God wants us to purify our soul or our emotions so we don't let sinfulness guide us. Let me show you a few things and let me show you how God says we should purify our souls. Look at 1 Peter again, chapter 1, verse number 22. Seeing that you have purified your souls, watch this, point number one, in obeying the truth. Wow. Through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. God says, first of all, you purify your soul by obeying that book right there. Yeah. Obey the truth. I want you to understand something. Jesus said in John 17, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. 2 Timothy 2:15 says that, turn to 2 Timothy, you're close there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Bless you. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. That's the Bible. We are to study so that we can rightly divide the word of truth. John chapter 1, verse number 14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 17. Turn to John chapter 17 very quickly. John chapter 17, verse number 17. John 17, 17 says, and it would be better if I went to chapter 17, verses 16. Sanctify them through thy truth. Watch this. Thy word is truth. In other words, the truth is the word of God. I could go to hundreds of other places. I'm not going to take time to go there. America and our world needs a dose of the word of God. America sits in riots and burning tonight because people's emotions have been fired up, not even knowing the truth yet.
Right.
Folks, please don't get mad at me. The Civil War had nothing to do with slavery.
Right.
And most of the slaves were treated as employees. They had housing. They weren't treated like you saw in Hollywood. I'm not saying that never happened. But 99.9% of the time, why do you think after the Civil War, most of the slaves did not want to leave their slave masters? Many of them stayed and worked. They couldn't even give land away. They said, look, we'll give you 10 acres and a mule if you just leave. And they couldn't get people to leave. They loved where they worked. They loved the people for whom they worked. And they wanted to stay there. It was an employee, employer type mentality. I know that's not what you're hearing today. But that's what it was. I'm not saying every case. Why do we take the one out of 1,000 and say that was the standard? You see, most people don't even know what the truth is. Christopher Columbus was not a slave trader. I hate that this. Well, he had slaves. We use the word slave today differently than they did back then. We would use the word employee. Just like in the Bible where it says wine doesn't mean Mogan David all the time. When Jesus turned water to wine, it wasn't Jack Daniels. I don't even know if that's wine, so I have no idea. I knew I had to look at Brother Mike or Brother Scott on that one because I didn't know. I have no idea, but I do know this. Our word for it is different than the Greek word is. So be careful how we've degraded. Okay, it used to... How many of you are over the age, well, any of you over the age of 70, the word gay was a good word when you were growing up. It meant happy. It doesn't mean happy anymore. You walk up to Brother Scott and say, boy, you look gay today. It's not going to be a good thing. You do it to Brother Mike and it's really not going to be a good thing. You're going to lose your life in a hurry with either one of those fellers. Now, wait a minute. The word didn't change meaning. People changed the meaning of it. That's what's happened with a lot of words that are being misused today in society. The degradation of the American language and the English language, and we say it meaning one thing and it was meant something else years ago. Boy, that's an important statement. Now, we need the truth before we express emotion or decide an emotion. We need to not have the American press report who's been arrested and what they've been arrested for and convict them and find them guilty as they've been arrested. Just because somebody's been arrested doesn't mean they're guilty. My dad's sitting back there. I'm telling the gospel truth, and if not, he'll let you know. When I started driving my car, before I started driving, my dad said, son, when the police officer pulls you over, not if, he said when, and he was right. He said, when a police officer pulls you over, first thing you should do is put your hands on the steering wheel after you lower your window. The next thing you need to do is everything he says, you do it. Your answer should be, yes, sir. At that time, it was only yes, sir. Now it's yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, or whatever. Wait a minute. He said, even if they pull you out of the car and put you in handcuffs, you let them do that. It's easier to get you out of jail than to bury you. He said, that's what we have courts for. That's what we have lawyers for. You may not be guilty, but you just say yes, sir, and do what they tell you to do. It wasn't racially motivated. My dad was teaching me the respect necessary to deal with a police officer. He taught me that guy doesn't know who you are from anybody. He sees the worst of things in society. He doesn't know you have good intentions. Can I tell you something? I don't care who it is. Mr. Floyd in Minneapolis, this guy in New York City a couple years ago, Trayvon Martin, you name it. Two words could have solved the whole thing. Yes, sir. Solves the whole thing. If you would say yes, sir, and obey, not resist arrest, we wouldn't be where we're at today. And I don't care if they're red, white, black, blue, purple, green, or chartreuse. Say why? Because it's an authority issue. You obey the truth, and the truth has to get out. We need to get the press out of things and wait. How about the press report what happens after the trial? How come you never hear what happens after the trial? You only hear the accusation, not the result. Boy, that's good stuff. We're not supposed to let the media control our emotions. We're not supposed to allow gossip to control our emotions. There's two words you can say when gossip comes your way. Shut up. Oh, I don't want to be rude. I'd rather be rude than have somebody vomit in my ear. Gossip is evil. Can I say it again? Gossip is evil. You ought not participate in it. That doesn't mean, well, I don't say it, I just listen to it. You just read it on Twitter and Facebook. I'm going to preach from behind my pulpit whether you like it or not. And if you believe everything you read, unless it's the Word of God, you have trouble. Now, let me say this, the false teaching that we came from animals and that man is an animal is all because they want you to be emotionally controlled. Animals allow emotions to control them. People are to purify theirs. There's something called Pavlov. Pavlov was a psychiatrist, psychological guru that said that people are like dogs. He used dogs as an illustration. If you do the same thing every day, you can get them into a routine, and people are the same way. If you hear a certain bell, it will mean this in your life. No, we are not dogs. We're to control ourselves.
Amen.
You're not a bunch of dogs from Pavlov.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? That's what evolution teaches. That's what public schools teach. That's what a lot of churches teach. You're just another animal. Hate to disappoint you. You're not going to put dog blood in you and live.
Amen.
You're not going to put cow blood in you and live.
That's right.
Just because you put horse blood in you is not going to make you run faster.
Amen.
Folks, it's not going to work. All right? Those things, and by the way, you can't put horse blood in a cow. It will not work. The animal will die. You say, why? Because it after his own kind, according to Scripture. So we purify ourselves, first of all, by obeying the truth. What's the truth? The Word of God. Can I challenge you? Be in the Word of God every day. Read your Bible. Learn your Bible. Be at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. Learn the truth. The truth is more important than anything. By the way, speak the truth. Young people, listen to your parents. They'll speak the truth to you. You don't have enough sense. I got more sense in my little finger than most kids have in their whole head. I used to get mad at Brother Hiles for saying that. Now I'm saying it. Say why? Because I understand what he meant. You'd be surprised how smart your parents get after you start having kids. First time you have one of those chitlins and something comes out of your mouth, you're going to say, I swore I would never say that. And yet you say it over and over and over again because you found out they was right. They spoke the truth. Shut the door. You weren't born in a barn. All right. You'll say those things. I'm not paying to air condition the whole world. Everybody doing all right? You purify your soul by obeying the truth. By the way, not just knowing the truth. Knowing the truth is important, but obeying the truth is more important. You can know what the truth is, but you can disobey it knowing it. Not doing anything is disobeying. God says we are to obey the truth to purify our souls. Number two, the Holy Spirit through the Bible is the guide for our emotions for our soul. Look at verse 22 again. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, watch this, through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. Now watch this. As you read the Word of God and you let the Holy Spirit of God work in your life and teach you the Word of God and reveal the Word of God through you, it will purify your soul. You don't get spiritual by your spirit, you get spiritual by your soul. You get born again by being saved, but you grow in the Lord in your emotions and in your attitudes and even in your attitude with God. You'll quit saying, well, I just don't understand why God did that. Okay, that's a real scriptural attitude, isn't it? Well, I just don't see how God... Okay, you're not God. How about you get the right attitude by getting in the Bible and obeying the truth? God's word tells us how to feel in every event that happens in life. Do you know God tells us how we are supposed to control our emotions at death? The death of a loved one? The Bible tells us exactly how to do that. God tells us how to grieve. God tells us how to overcome depression. God tells us how to handle defeat. Boy, I've had to do that a lot in my life. God tells us how to handle victory. Careful, you don't get such a big head that you're so successful. My Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Yeah, by the time you think you've arrived, you find out that your head's where your feet was. The Bible tells us how to love. The Bible tells us how to handle being hated. Can I tell you why most people don't handle their enemies well? Because they allow their emotions to control them and not the Bible. Overcome evil with good, not vengeance is mine. Ouch. We purify our soul or our emotions when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in the scripture before our emotions get involved. Before our emotions get involved. The scripture tells us how to feel. Preacher, how did you feel when your daughter got married? Excited? Happy? Pleased? Oh, you lost your baby. She's still my baby girl. I didn't lose her. I know where she's at. She's in McDonough, Georgia right now. I didn't lose her. Now, the toe-headed idiot's with her, not me, but that's all right. Wait a minute. I decided how I was going to behave through this whole thing. By the way, and I did it. I did cry with her. They were unfair. Before about 4 o'clock or so, 4:30, they said, oh, you need to go to the auditorium. They had her standing right here with her dress all hooped out. And I walked down the center aisle looking at her, and she just looked at me, and I thought, ooh, that's not fair. Just her and I in the auditorium by ourselves. I loved on her, cried with her a little bit. Say why? Not because I was sad. I was so proud of her. I was so proud of her. And I was so happy for her. She needed to put her head in my shoulder and cry for a second. She said, now don't do that. My mascara's going to run. Okay. No problem. We walked down that aisle. Before we walked out, Kirsten was back there. And there's a quote that made her laugh about getting married. Everybody's getting a little bit nervous and somber. So what did I do? The one-liner, here it comes. And everybody's dying. Even Kirsten was laughing. Say why? Because that's what she needed. I could feel her tremoring. We walked down the aisle, and then she sang that stupid song to me. I locked in. I'm not going to let the emotion get me right now. And I didn't. I controlled my emotion. Say why? Because I knew what my next emotion was going to be, which was laughter. I'd planned it for a year. 11 months at least. Now, wait a minute. I controlled that too. If you could have seen my outline where the humor was involved in the tender moments, those were all planned. You say, that sounds a little crazy, preacher. That's how I held it together. I've preached funerals for my grandparents, my wife's grandparents. I've preached a lot of very sensitive, tender type funerals. Very close friends, preacher friends. I didn't lose it. Did I grieve? Yes. But there's times we allow our emotions to drive us beyond, and we don't follow what the Word of God says. Let's do what it says before the emotion gets involved. My Bible says, be angry and sin not. There is a way to be angry without being sinful. I hate sin, but I love sinners. I hate alcohol. I hate what it does, but I love every drunkard who listens to the gospel. Yes, sir. You see, we purify our souls by cleaning ourselves up, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us, and we obey the Bible before we get our emotion involved in something. My wife and I, in 31 years, this next Wednesday, have never fussed and feuded as far as screaming. And we've never raised our voices at each other. Now, we have disagreed thousands of times. Tens of thousands. I didn't say we're always in agreement. But we haven't gotten ugly with each other. Now, I'm always ugly, but we don't scream and holler at each other. You say, why? Because we decided before we got married we'd never do that. And in 31 years, my son sitting there 28 years old, he'll tell you he's never heard his mom and dad raise their voice at each other, ever. Ever. Say, why? Because we decided how we were going to behave. When I feel like I want to yell, I say, you made a decision a long time ago, and if you're getting that involved with it, you better get yourself right. Because something's wrong inside you right now, not her. And I go fix myself, and I deal with it. And we fix the situation. I don't just let it out. I don't just get it off my chest. Well, any dog can bark and bite. It takes more energy to hold something back than it does to get it going. Do you know you can push a Mack truck to get it going? But let that thing roll about 15, 20 miles an hour and stand in front of it and try to stop it once. It takes more energy to stop it than it does to get it going. We're not to react emotionally. We're to find the truth and act on the truth. Take your Bible, turn to, we're right there in 1 Peter. Turn over to Ephesians. We were just there this morning, Ephesians 4. We were in chapter 5, but look at Ephesians 4. And I'm going to read 5 verses very quickly. I've got to hurry. Ephesians 4, look at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, that means way of life, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Oh, God says put it off. That means this. I can put off the old man just like putting off my coat. He said take off the old man. Watch this, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye may put on, here's the new man, put on the new man. Just like taking a coat off and putting another on, you take off the old man, put on the new man. Verse 24. And put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Can I tell you something? Look at verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. God says when you're going to get angry, put off the old man, put on the new man. Do it through the spirit, not through the flesh. Before you get your emotions involved, go to the truth, act on the truth, and then do what the truth says. We don't have time, but Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 tell us very much the same thing, that we put off the old, put on the new. And I've got to hurry here because I got one whole point and I got 2 minutes. We're going to be late. Number 3, the right Bible is the only thing that will give you the right truth. Right. Look at verse 23, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That incorruptible seed is Jesus. But it is also the word of God, because he is the word of God. Notice it says the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. Folks, the right Bible is just as important as anything else. Reading the wrong Bible and being around the wrong Bible means you're not with incorruptible seed. It's corruptible seed. The RSV, the NASV, the New King James, the HIV for the sodomites, the all the other MICKEYMOUSE versions and everything else. I don't care which one it is, the Living Bible, the New World Translation, the Reader's Digest condensed version, whatever perversion you want to throw out there, those are man's words, not God's words. It's corruptible seed, not incorruptible seed. Because he is the word of God, we don't need a new translation or man's opinion. Revelation 19:13 is still in the book, which written on his vesture, which is his name, the word of God. By the way, the Old Testament and the New Testament is all scripture. Well, we're not under the Old Testament. All the Bible is all the Bible. Can I tell you something? We're real good at using Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but we forget verse number 10. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's verses 8 and 9. Do you know what verse 10 is? For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What is the good works? Purifying our soul. He saves you for you to clean up your soul, your emotions. He doesn't save you by your works. He saves you so that your works will clean you up. Man's words are corruptible. God's words are eternal and incorruptible. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Matthew 4:4. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have to have an every word Bible somewhere, or God's a liar. We have it in the King James Bible. Now, listen to this, and I'll quit here. Our authority is to be the Bible, not some church doctrine. And say that again. Our authority is to be the word of God, not some church doctrine. Somebody will call and say they're going on vacation. Preacher, would you check out a church? I'll find the city, if I don't know somebody near there, and I'll find the city and I'll look up the churches. First thing I do is go to their church doctrine. First thing I look at is not salvation, but on the word of God. If they say, well, we use the King James Bible because it's a reliable translation historically, I say, wrong place. That's liberalism. I don't have to go any farther. I say, well, they're only using, yeah, but if you look at why they're using it, they're going the wrong direction real fast. We don't need to revisit and revise the Bible. We need to reread and reobey it. Amen. We don't need a revised version. We need a reread version. Amen. Called the King James.
Right.
Now, let me make this statement, and I'm going to close her down. I promise you. Those religions and those churches with emotionally based doctrine all use the wrong Bible.
That's right. Amen.
Why? Because they're trying to purify the spirit by emotions. Oh, you've got to feel it. Oh, I got it. I felt it. Did you feel it? Well, I felt a lot of things that weren't necessarily spiritual. Get that old 8-point buck walk out in bow range. You can feel something real quick. It may not be spiritual, but you're going to feel it. Heart's going to race. Blood's going to start flowing fast and hot, and you're going to start breathing hard. Say, why? Because you're feeling it. But that didn't mean it was spiritual. Now, it is if you hit the target and say, glory to God, I got it. That becomes spiritual. But it doesn't mean that it's spiritual. Just because something makes you tingle doesn't mean it's right.
Amen.
Boy, that's a good statement. Churches who use the wrong Bible have the wrong doctrines. And the churches with the wrong Bibles, listen to me, they all use emotionally based doctrine. Oh, you got to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to speak in tongues. You got to lay on the floor and flop and speak in a heavenly unknown language. God is not the author of confusion. By the way, they're the ones that don't preach a separation of soul and spirit. They say the soul and the spirit is the same thing, and it's not. I have to finish. It's our job to purify our own soul. God not only saves us, but he gives us the truth needed for us to purify our soul. But it's our job to purify it, not his job. He gave us salvation. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Word of God. He gave us the directions. He gave us what to read. He gave us what to obey. But he will not force you to do it. You have to do it. Let me say this. It's done by obeying the truth, not knowing the truth. Not only knowing it, but obeying it. Unless you obey it, it doesn't do any good. So, God tells us that we purify ourselves, our souls, by the Word of God, through the Spirit, which is the Word of and the Word of God, the incorruptible seed. Wow. Let me ask you a question. How's your attitude? How's your emotional state? My nerves are just frazzled. Well, let's cancel your emotional breakdown. Let's get a good dose of the Word of God. Let's obey it and find out how to get out of this mess. It's that simple. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I promise you, the truth tonight could revolutionize your life. I realize people have some health issues. I realize people sometimes take medications that can affect their emotions. But there are ways for us to work through those things. But I'll promise you, everybody here needed that truth tonight. If you've never been saved, you come forward, we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. If you've been saved and baptized, like to join our church, we'd love to have you. Maybe you just need to come kneel at an old-fashioned altar.